The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 15, verses 36 to 41.
며칠 후에
Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Amen. And during the past 2 weeks, we've thought about the fact that the life of a Christian is not lived out on a straight line of this world. Paul and Barnabas was facing the second mission trip. Had different views about whether they should bring Mark again, who had deserted the mission team and went home on his own without asking permission during the first mission trip. When they could not come to an agreement, they separated paroxymos, or encouraging the other so that God's will may be fulfilled through the thinking of the other, which was different from his own. Verse 39, they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Now Barnabas was separated from Paul, left for Cyprus Island with Mark, which was the first destination for the first mission trip, and Barnabas does not return again to the stage of the Acts. This passage, as the end, although Barnabas was the person who singled out Paul, he forever disappears from the stage of the Acts. The stage of the Acts after this passage unfolds as a solo stage for Paul until the curtain comes down. And so people presume that the main character of the Acts is Paul, and Barnabas is one of many supporting characters who fall short of measuring up to Paul. But this is the result of people placing Paul and Barnabas on a straight line of the world and comparing them against each other. However, this is an idea which is far from the Bible. The Lord's calling for Paul and Barnabas was different. If Paul were called for the evangelism for the masses, Barnabas was an instrument of the Lord called to help that one person whom the Lord entrusted to him to stand upright. Because of Barnabas, who was obedient and was faithful to his calling by the Lord, Paul, who had secluded himself at his hometown Tarsus, was able to become the Paul who we know. And Mark, who was at one time an irresponsible young man, at the end became a co-worker of Apostle Peter and Paul, and further became the writer of the Gospel of Mark, which was the first gospel to be recorded among the four gospels. Therefore, the life of Barnabas, which seems noteworthy in that he helped Paul and Mark to stand upright, and the life of Paul, in which he went all over the Mediterranean world and spread the gospel to countless people, both have absolute meaning before God, and which cannot be distinguished as being better than the other. That God is not a being who places men who are more or less alike on a straight line of this world, makes them compete, and evaluates them against each other. But God is a being who evaluates the life of each man absolutely according to the calling given to that particular person. Now let's think about the straight line of Roman Empire 2,000 years ago. Even back then, people who had power, a lot of wealth. In other words, those who were moving up in the world, the so-called successful ones, were in the front of that line. Now, what would happen if we place Paul and Barnabas on that line? Did they have power? Did they have material possessions? Were they the ones? Were they the ones who were so-called on their way up, the people who were successful? Definitely not. Now, Paul and Barnabas, who were no more than failures and incompetent ones on that line, without a doubt, would have been assigned to a place at the end of that line. But the reason that they were used as God's instruments who renew the world despite that is because God is not a being who engages in relative comparisons of men on a straight line, using worldly things as a standard, but a being who sees the absolute value in each man. Now, even so, Paul is known to have died by beheading in Rome, and Barnabas is known to have died as a martyr in Cyprus Island. This was an outcome of the people of the world at that time, judging them on the straight line of this world. And is this all? The people in Roman Empire who drove Jesus to death on the cross, the Holy Son of God, who had come to this world, were Jewish people who considered themselves the chosen people of God. The Jewish people, too, although they professed to believe in God, lived out their lives on the straight line of the world. But so long as we pursue after the straight line of this world, no matter how fervently we carry out our religious life, God cannot be the purpose and the master of our lives. Because the very fact that we're pursuing after the straight line of this world already means that we are using God as a mere means to gain what the world considers valuable. Therefore, Christians are people who do not live out their lives on the straight line of this world, but on a round circle, who live a life which is absolute for him or her according to the direction of the of his or her calling. Because the life of each Christian who follows the way to which he or she is called has absolute meaning before God, such Christian is able to encourage those who live lives that are different from them, and is able to enjoy absolute gratitude, absolute satisfaction and absolute joy with respect to his or her own life. The Christ said the following through Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy verses 20-21. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, some are made of wood and clay. Very expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. To keep yourself pure means, according to the verse which precedes it, to keep oneself pure from the unrighteousness of the world. In other words, keep oneself separate in holiness. If you compare a golden bowl, a silver bowl, or a clay bowl, a wooden bowl on the straight line of this world, the most expensive one will no doubt be the gold bowl. And the bowl that is worth the least would be the cheap earthen bowl. But this is true only as far as the straight line of this world is concerned. And it is not something that takes place before God. Before God, so long as one keeps oneself pure, then regardless of whether one is a gold bowl or a clay bowl, one will be used as an absolute instrument of God in a very precious way. The 40 years that Moses lived as a prince of Egypt, which was the world's best and the greatest empire at the time, was a time in Moses' life which was like being a gold ball in this world. And the 40 years in which he fell from his position to live as a shepherd in the Midian wilderness was a time that was like being the cheapest earthen bowl in his life. But God the Father did not call Moses during the time when he was a prince, when he was the gold bowl of this world. That God called Moses as his instrument when Moses fell from his position to become a shepherd of the house of his father-in-law, Jethro, when he was the cheapest clay bowl of this world. And this was because an old man Moses, who was 80 years old and had no possession except for a dried out stick and was just a useless clay bowl on a straight line of this world, in God's eyes, he had kept himself pure and was ready to completely entrust himself to God. Now, Ezekiel and Daniel of the Old Testament were both captives of war who were taken to Babylonian Empire. But their place in the Babylonian Empire were completely different. Ezekiel lived by the river of Kibar with his fellow Jewish captives. Now, could the captives of war who were dragged to the country of their captors live comfortable lives? Ezekiel had to live a life at the bottom with the captives. On the other hand, Daniel, he lived at the glamorous palace and was selected to become the prime minister of Babylonia. If he was the prime minister of the great Babylonian Empire, then certainly on the straight line of Babylonian Empire, he was the gold bowl. And Ezekiel, who lived at the bottom of that society with the captives, was surely the cheapest of all clay bowls. And this was clearly true on the straight line of this world, but this was not at all true before God. If Daniel was the instrument of God, whom God had planted in the royal place for the sake of human history, Ezekiel was God's instrument, whom God had planted among the captives for their sake. And so Daniel and Ezekiel, although they lived completely different lives, did not criticize the other or became envious of the other for living a life that was different from him, and did not try to compare himself to the other. They kept themselves pure, and when they lived a life which was sincere to God's calling, they were both used alike as a precious instrument of God, and they became the absolute instruments of God. Therefore, Christians who believe in God should not stop merely at getting away from the straight line of the world for themselves, but they should raise their children or their future children whom God will entrust to them on a round circle. And they should support and trust in their children so that they can find the way to God's calling for them. A straight line goes only in one direction, so that on the straight line of this world, everyone is bound to be ranked first to last. But a circle is open to 360 degrees. And by saying that a circle is open 360 degrees, it does not mean that there are only 360 different ways of life. On a circle which is wholly open to God, there are as many different ways of life as there are numbers, as there are numbers of people. So it is. So it is only when we trust and support our children to the end, so that they can find their lives according to their respective calling from the Lord on this round circle. It is only then that they will not be subjugated to the values of the world, and they will cultivate themselves with purity, with values that are absolutely needed to live as God's instruments: devotion, sacrifice, service, and serving others. There are those who already know about this, and I beg your pardon for talking to you about my second son. When my second child was a freshman in high school, during summer vacation, he attended a summer camp for a month by the invitation of my elementary school friend. The principal of the school, which sponsored the camp, took notice of my son. And offered to take him on as an exchange student for a year and offered a full scholarship. My son also wanted the challenge of living abroad and studying abroad for a year. So my wife and I made a promise with him that he would return to Korea to live with the family after a year and allowed him to study as an exchange student for a year in England. About the time the year was almost over, the principal of the school contacted us. He said that if this child were to be allowed to graduate from the high school in England, he was certain to get into Oxford University, and he proposed that we allow him to stay at his school until graduation, and that the school would pay for all of his tuition. This was truly a wonderful proposal, but my wife and I very respectfully said no to the proposal. If we had pursued after the straight line of this world, if we were people who made that straight line a purpose of our lives, we would have accepted the offer with much gratitude. But we believe that what was most important for our children was for them to grow up with the family until they graduated from high school, and while they were not yet adults. We believe that a child living with parents and siblings, with all the attendant dramas, would experience devotion and sacrifice, service, in the natural way, and could grow as a person with the right personality, the right character, the right field of emotions, and right kind of heart. And it is only in such case that Even after he or she becomes an adult, the child can be faithful to his calling and could make a happy life for himself with other people, no matter what circumstances he is put in. Therefore, we had always made a promise with our four kids since they were little that they could study by themselves abroad if they wanted from college, but until they graduated from high school, they have to live with the family. But even so, wouldn't my son, who received this tremendous proposal from the school, not have wanted to study in England? He probably would have wanted to very much. If he had stubbornly resisted coming back home, there really wasn't much that we could do. But thankfully, my son came back to Korea as he promised after 1 year abroad and graduated from high school. And he went on to study at Handong University at Pohang. When he was a freshman there during his first semester, the president Kim Jin-kyung of Yeonbyeon Science and Technology University asked my son whether he would be interested in studying with a Korean Chinese students at the university. My son, who had actually received this offer, who had made the same offer a year ago when he was a senior in high school, he had said no. But when President Kim made his second proposal, he decided to accept the offer and became the first foreign student at the Yeonbyeon Science and Technology University. And during the 1 year before he graduated from there, he also studied as an exchange student at Urumqi University at Xinjiang, a region in the western part of China, which belonged to the Uyghurs. He graduated from Yeonbyeon Science and Technology University last year and came home and is now receiving treatment for a back disc that he developed while he was in China. Now, people in general want to improve the prestige of their academic credentials, but my son chose to deliberately downgrade his academic credentials. In other words, on the straight line of this world, he chose the way of the cheap clay vessel. And this appears to be a foolhardy and foolish decision on the straight line of this world. But my wife and I believe that the experience and the perspective that he gained during the 4 years while he lived together and studied together with the Korean Chinese and Northern Korean, North Koreans and Han Chinese and Uyghur young men in China will serve as a valuable resource for him in living his life according to the Lord's calling during his life. The goalpost on the straight line of this world is not necessarily a goalpost before God. To the contrary, the Bible testifies that more often than not, the goalpost on the straight line of this world has nothing to do with God. A cheap earthen vessel on the straight line of the world is not also cheap earthenware before God. Among the characters in the Bible, most who were used as instruments were people who were like cheap clay bowl on the straight line of this world. This is so because only those who realize that they're just clay bowls of not much value will depend wholly on God and will constantly make the effort to cultivate themselves in purity. Accordingly, if we are Christians, we need to trust and support our children to the end so that each one can live his or her life according to the calling of the Lord on the round circle and not on the straight line of this world. Here a question can be asked. If the straight line is not followed in this fierce competition of this harsh world, can Christians, and moreover their children, be capable of living out the life to which the Lord calls, even on the circle? The response to that question consists of one word, faith. The reason that we want to get away from the straight line of this world, which seeks to rank all men according to the values of this world, which are not centered on men, and live out our lives together with our families in a circle, each according to the calling of the Lord, is that we are Christians who believe in God. If we truly believe in God, such thought would be wholly unnecessary, even in our dreams. Therefore, because we believe in God, so long as we pursue such life together with our family according to the calling of God, as long as we set that example, then our children, although they may appear like clay balls on the straight line, although at one time our children may appear incapable, irresponsible, like Mark, young man Mark, and even if we, unlike other parents, cannot package our children with the things of the world, we must believe that God will surely take responsibility for them and will use them as his instruments. And from this perspective, the parents of Mark, who left for Cyprus Islands again with Barnabas in today's text, leave us with many implications. Now, people call the place where Jesus had his last supper with his disciples before he died on the cross as the upper room of Mark. It means the second story of the house of a person called Mark. It is known that the place where Jesus held the first communion after the Last Supper, where resurrected Jesus came twice to his disciples who were trembling with fear, where 120 believers, including the disciples, gave rise to the early church in prayer after Jesus' ascension, where the Holy Spirit came in Pentecost, is the house which is called by people as the house of Mark. But the Bible does not call this house Mark's house. Acts chapter 12, verse 12 calls this house the house of Maria, the mother of Mark. The fact that the house was called the house of Maria, the mother of Mark, at the time when all material possessions belonged to the husband, meant that Maria was a widow who had lost her husband. Maria, who were bereaved of her husband, offered up her house so that it could be used for the Lord. Chapter 8 of the Acts tells us But due to the persecution of Christians by Jews, Christians of Jerusalem had to disperse in four directions, according to chapter 12 of the Acts. Tetrarch King Herod Agrippa I put James among the disciples to death by beheading and, moreover, imprisoned Peter. It was a very dangerous thing to live as a Christian in Jerusalem at the time. Further, it was even more dangerous to publicly offer up one's house continuously to be used by the Lord. The reason that Maria risked such danger was because she was a woman of faith who did not pursue after the straight line of this world, but lived her own life according to the calling of the Lord. If that was the case, then what about Mark's father, the husband of Maria, who departed from the world early on? Did he do anything for Mark? As I spoke when we looked at chapter 12, verse 12 of the Acts earlier on, Mark, when he recorded the Gospel of Mark later, left a record of his father. In chapter 14, verse 14 of the Gospel of Mark, he recorded that the owner of the house who offered up the house that people called as Mark's house, in other words, his house, to Jesus so that he could have the Last Supper with his disciples, as oikodes potes in Greek. This word refers to an adult male. The person who had first offered up the house was not the mother of Mark, Maria, nor Mark, who was at the time a little child. The adult man who offered up the house was the head of the household, Mark's father. The father of Mark was a devoted man of faith, to the degree of willingly offering up his house for the Lord. After God had called him first for the needs of his kingdom, the wife, Maria, was left behind, continued to offer up the house for the Lord, which she had inherited after the faith of her husband, although it was a dangerous time to do so. Mark had grown up under such mother and such father. Mark was raised not on the straight line of this world, but on a circle to live according to the Lord's calling. How happy Maria must have been when Mark became the assistant to Paul and Barnabas on the first mission trip and left with them. And when Mark had returned home irresponsibly on his own in the middle of the trip, deserting the team, and when she heard the news that Paul and Barnabas finally ended up separating because of her son, how torn her heart, the mother who had to raise the child by herself, must have been. But she believed to the end that God would take care of her son Mark as he embarked on the second mission trip with Barnabas, because she believed in God. And God, in whom she believed,
베드로와 바울의 동역자로 마가복음의 기록
Through Barnabas used Mark preciously as his absolute instrument and took responsibility for him as a co-worker of Peter and Paul and as the recorder of the Gospel of Mark. Beloved brothers and sisters, no matter how glamorous the straight line of this world may look, its end is, without an exception, the graveyard. Let us all become like parents of Mark, who trusted and supported their children to the end, while living each of their lives called by the Lord on the circle, together with their families. Although our children may at times look like cheapest earthenware on the straight line of this world, although our children may at times make irresponsible mistakes like young man Mark, our lives, although as parents we cannot package them with the things of this world like other parents, God will allow our lives to become the Gospel of Mark. And our families will each become to be called the house of father and mother of Mark. God, you called Moses as your instrument when Moses was an old man, 80 years old, a shepherd of Midian, a person like a worthless clay vessel on a line, and not when he was a gold vessel on that line of Egypt, the time when he was prince. God, you preciously used Daniel, who kept himself pure before you, depending only on you, even after he became the prime minister of the Babylonian Empire, or gold vessel, and Ezekiel, who wholly entrusted himself to you, while living a down-and-out life, like a clay vessel, as your absolute instrument alike. God, you used Paul and Barnabas, who had no material possessions, and who were far from worldly success, and who appeared and therefore appeared to be the cheapest of cheap earthenware on the straight line of this world. We are all people who believe in you. Please help us so that we do not forget our lives are made not on the straight line of this world, but on the circle. Each of us, that we are to live in accordance with the calling given to us by the Lord. Allow us all to become the father and mother of Mark, who wholly offer up their families as the pathways of the Lord. In loving each other, in midst of coming up against each other in our relationships, may we learn how to keep ourselves pure while learning the ways of sacrifice, devotion, service, and serving others. Even when our children may make mistakes at times or fail at times, although we are not able to package them with the things of this world on that straight line, help us to believe without doubt that through such very process, God is raising up our children as his instruments. And so may our children's lives unfold as the Gospel of Mark, which renews this world, and our families be called the house of Father and Mother of Mark. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.